Wow. I was going to start reading first, but I think we better pray before anything. So if I could pray here for a second. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day and for being able to come here, Lord. I pray specifically for the message, Lord, because I know that I can mess it up real easy. So I'm just asking you to speak through me, Lord, and move me out of the way. And I just pray that anyone is lost in here, Lord, that they would realize it. And I just pray if there's even someone backslidden here, Lord, that they would call upon you and that they'd get back in fellowship with you. And I just pray that you would bless the remaining of the service. And in Jesus' name, amen. If I could have you guys turn to Matthew 14. It's a pretty common passage. And then there's also not many, but there's a lot like it throughout the Bible. But in Matthew 14:22, the Bible says this: "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him and unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto the water. And yeah, it's kind of hard to imagine. Yeah, he's actually saying, bid me come out on the water, Lord. I want to come to you, and I want to get close to you, and I want to draw nigh to you. And so he goes out there, and it said he, I'm going to start over in verse 20. It says, And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go up to Jesus. And I like when it said he said come, because I think of Hebrews when it says, Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. That is something in this dispensation that we have that a lot of people didn't have in the Old Testament. They had to go and they had to kill goats, they had to go kill bullocks and numbers of animals just so they could have some blood shed for their sin. And Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross for your sins, and he said it was finished. And there's no more sacrifice need to be made. And so now, because of that, the Bible says, Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may find mercy. And that obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And I'm going to continue on here. In verse 29, he said, Come. And when Peter was come down into the ship, he walked onto the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come out into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. A lot of times we go through troubles in our life, and kind of shows that, you know, you see this, and in the end, you really see who Jesus Christ is. He really shows himself, and like said in testimonies, and I'm sure, I think Caleb said something about it, but Jesus Christ will show himself to you. If you really look for him, if you really seek him, he will show you. I guess I want to focus on He Hears My Cry. To me, this is kind of something close to me, because I know I've not done it enough, and I know all of us being human, we haven't done it enough. And just with this simple, He Hears My Cry, there's so many things that the Lord can do. And there's a lot of people that He hears. There's one that He will hear, but right now there may be a lost person in here that Jesus Christ does not hear, because they have not accepted His Son as their Savior. But Peter, in this passage, is the one that came out unto Jesus on the water, but he cried and said, Lord, save me. Just a couple things on Peter. He's a do-first-think-later Christian. He's known for sticking his foot in his mouth. guys, I'm going to have to die on the cross. Oops. He stuck his foot in his mouth. Peter, you're actually going to deny me three times. Over my dead body. What happened? Three times. But as you look at this, I thought it was really interesting because it says immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And that goes to show the fact that, you know what, Peter wasn't that far off. He was not that far from Jesus Christ. And, you know, we as Christians, sometimes we get going. And, I know we obviously all have our faults. And, you know, we all need to draw closer to Jesus Christ. But, you know, oftentimes we as Christians take our eyes off Jesus Christ like Peter did. And you start to look at the things of this world, and not to belittle the problems, but you know, a lot of times you look to these things, and it can be your car breaks down, your job, you lost your job, you need bills paid, your kids' health are bad. And like I said, all those things, I don't blame you. I wouldn't do any better. And in fact, I probably would do worse. But you know, we look at those things, and only if we would cry unto God and say, help, look what he could do immediately. Now, it's not just like that sometimes. Sometimes you have to go through struggles, and sometimes you have to go through that battle. But what did he say? He said, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. And how many of us really, truly are trying to draw nigh unto Jesus Christ? How many of us are actually really calling on him? I didn't really want this to be, you know, a negative message. It really means a lot to me, the fact that, you know, he would hear my cry. Maybe that's selfish, but in the end, I care more about me and about what's happening to me. All of us are. But, you know, I'm really, really thankful because, you know what? I know what I am. I know what I've done. When he saved my soul, you may think, well, who cares? You know, you see people get up and, like Mary, you know, how could one person mean so much to her? How could one person's soul mean so much to her? And I bet you her soul means more to her than his. But you know what? To me, it means so much to me because you know what? I know what I've done. But the Bible says that he died for my sins according to the scriptures and rose again the third day. And he washed away my sins. Like I said, you know, we sit there and too many times we look at the things of the world. But you know what? Look at all the things we have. We have the great physician. I mean, we have a great high priest. The Bible says in Hebrews, for we have not an high priest, but cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He came down here for, 30, 33, or what, you know, whatever you want to say, some odd years. And you know what? He came and he dwelt in this sin for you. So he could live this sinless, perfect life. And that's what he did. And he died on the cross for your sins. He died on the cross for my sins. We have a heavenly Father. Most of us do in this room. Some of you may not. We have the problem solver. Everyone obviously is out to you. You can't go on. You can't flip up on the internet. You can't drive down the road without there being some type of problem that needs to be solved. There's a commercial for problems being solved everywhere. But you know what? I think too many times we sit there and we look at our problems more than problem solver. And I know that's definitely for me. And in the past years lately, I've had problems with calling on the Lord. And just think how much better our lives would be if we just took that simple little step and bowed the knee and said, Lord, help. Because really when it comes down to it, it's just a matter of pride. You're just too stubborn to move, and you don't. Peter began to sink, and he cried unto God. And the Lord heard him. Immediately, he was there, and he grabbed up his hand. Like I've already said, that's something we need to do. We need to cry unto Jesus Christ. What I got out of this, in other verses here, you see, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Peter's a faith-lacking Christian. No better than me. I'm not saying I'm better than him, but he's a faith-lacking Christian. He's also a doubting Christian. And what I got from this was the fact that, you know what, the Lord even hears the cry of a doubting, faith-lacking Christian. And I appreciate that because that's me. If you guys will, turn back to Psalm 69. I was kind of confused what to do with this one because there's some things that could kind of do a little Bible study on it, but we did that in Proverbs a couple nights back. And so I'll give you the verse references if you guys want to look them up some other time. Now, obviously, this is David. And in 69:20, verse 21, it says, "They gave me also," or I'm sorry, 20, it says, "Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I look for some to take pity. But there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." What I really want you to see is verse 20, what it says, "I am full of heaviness." I'm going to turn there. You guys can if you'd like, but you don't have to. Psalm 119:20. I'm going to go ahead and read off real quick. It says, "My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times." Verse 28 says, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word." In Ezra 9:1-5, you see heaviness. Proverbs 10:1. Isaiah 61:3, Romans 9:1-2, and 1 Peter 1:6, you see this heaviness keep showing up. And you read on and you see some of these verses where David has cried unto the Lord. It says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Upon me and hear my prayer. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. In my distress I called upon the Lord. In my distress I cried unto the Lord. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee." And what I gathered from this in the Bible study, he's talking about obviously heavy heart, but if you want to put it in a more modern language, I guess, I think he was depressed. And you know what? Some of you may think, you know, well, how can David be depressed? I mean, he's King of Israel, a giant slayer. He is a man after God's own heart, a mighty valiant man. Killed a bear, killed a lion with his own hands. The Lord was with David. And you may think, how can he be depressed? But you know what? David had his own struggles and David had his own battles. And David had his own sins. And you know, he had to deal with those, but he was heavy at heart. And you know what? I thank the Lord because you know what? He hears the cry of a heavy-hearted Christian, of a depressed Christian. A lot of times, you know, you see this man up in high positions, and the first people that came to my mind were the pastors and men around this world, evangelists, Brother Grissom, Brother Dave, Brother Jeremy, my dad, Brother Steve, everyone that's filled in this pulpit. You know what? They have their hard moments. They have their times where, you know what, don't forget that, you know, he was king of Israel, and that's a big name. But that also means that, you know what, I think he cared about his people. And he worried for his people. And he you know, in some ways, I think he bared the burdens of these people. And, you know, he was depressed, and he was sad. He was heavy at heart. And you know what, the Lord heard his cry. I just, you know, it's kind of funny because even though he was all of those things, he still needed the Lord. Solomon, I thought of Solomon. You know, he was one of, if not the wisest man in the world. And what did he ask the Lord for? He didn't ask him for riches. He didn't ask him for, you know, give me the new Mercedes, give me the new Lexus. You know, he didn't ask, give me the biggest house, give me the best this, give me the best that. He said, no, Lord, I want wisdom and knowledge to be able to judge your people. And it's funny because that was in 1 Kings 3 or 4. And then you see in chapter 8, what is he doing? He's given a prayer that takes up almost half of a chapter that has 50 verses. He still needed the Lord in the end. Through all that stuff, you know, he needed the Lord. So it's a blessing the fact that, you know what, the Lord hears the cry of a heavy-hearted Christian. I didn't know. This was also a hard one. There's not a lot of stuff on him. But if you guys could go to Jonah, The Lord hears the cry of a heavy-hearted Christian. He also hears the cry of a doubting Christian. Now let's see if I can find Jonah. And we'll see here. Obviously, everyone's heard, you know, Jonah and the whale, you know. For those of you that may be a little confused, Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." So Jonah, being a prophet, the Lord called him to go talk to Nineveh. And you know, Jonah arose up and flee, as you see in the passage, and found a ship going out to Tarshish. And as he's going out there, a big storm came up. And everyone, you know, freaking out and, you know, being scared, which I would too. But he's out there and all this stuff is going on. And one of the mariners come down to the ship and they look at him and he's sleeping. And they wake him up and they start talking to him. And eventually, you know, he fesses up. He goes, "You know what? Just throw me off board, because this is all because of me." And so they throw him off and, you know, he gets eaten up by the whale and all that. And so this is where I want to pick up is in chapter 2, verse 1. And it says this, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardst my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple." And you know, it even goes back to what I said with Peter. You know what? He knew where to look. He just looked back to Jesus Christ. He said, "Hey, help." And he cried unto the Lord. And you know, he saved him. And Jonah knew where to turn. He ran from God this whole time. And in the end, he had to go back to God. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed round me. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought me up, my life from corruptions, O Lord my God." And like I said, I didn't get too much on this, but it really shows you who the Lord will listen to. Dispensationally, I know, you know, they didn't have the cross yet, and so they couldn't be saved like we are. They didn't have eternal life. But let's just apply this now. You know what? Jonah was saved. He was backslidden. And you know what? What I got from this was the fact that, you know what? He even hears the cry of a bitter backslidden prophet. You read through this, through the rest of this, through this book, in 4:9, you see, "I do well to be angry even unto death." He was just a bitter old prophet. But you know what? Even the Lord heard his cry. And you know, maybe some of you, maybe me, maybe you're a little backslidden right now. Maybe you're bitter at stuff. You know what? You need to get that figured out, and you need to cry unto the Lord, because you know what? He'll hear your cry. You never know where the road ends with this. We don't even know where the road ended for Jonah here. It ends just real weird. It doesn't, you know, give any update on Jonah or anything like that. It's done. We don't know what happened to Jonah. But he hears the cry of a bitter and backslidden prophet. I couldn't ignore this one because this one was very personal for me and for everyone as well. Romans 10:13. Very popular verse, probably one of the most simple salvation verses out there. It says this: "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you know, I'm so glad the Lord heard my cry, because you know what? I was undeserving, selfish, self-righteous, just everything. It's all about you, you know. And He heard my cry even through all that, through all the selfishness. Through my sins, he still heard my cry. I was a child of the devil. Why would he want to help the enemy? And that's what I was. But he heard my cry. Matthew 27, Brother Darling kind of touched on this last time he preached last week, so I was just going to tell you guys to listen to him because he's preaching my message for me. Romans 27, 46, this is obviously the famous passage. Matthew 26, or 27, 46. This is the famous passage of Jesus being crucified on the cross for us. And I can read through a lot of this, but I'm not going to. I'm going to trust that everyone kind of knows what's going on here. But Jesus, he's real close to his death here. It says in verse 45, I'm going to start. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I really like that because you know what? When I couldn't cry, he did it for me. He cried for me. And you know, he bore my sins on his own body. You go look at Isaiah 53, I believe, and you can see the things that he did for us. And how, you know, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone turned everyone to their own ways. And through all that and through all my sins, he died for me. But he cried for me. We now have an advocate with a father, 1 John. And where would we be without Jesus Christ? Where would we be without that advocate for the Father? There's something just. When I was young, I remember going up to my mom, I think it was first. And I just told her I got saved, you know. Just something to do, you know. And she goes, oh, really? Go tell your dad, you know. So I told him, and he was working out. He just kind of ignored me. I don't know if he remembers, but I was just sitting there, you know. It's just something to say, you know, make him proud of me. But you know what? After that, I remember, I mean, I had nightmares. I had nightmares of the tribulation coming, and I was going to wake up, and they were going to be gone. And if you'll go and look, that will really happen someday. Jesus Christ will call his children out, and we're going to be gone. And just havoc is going to happen on the streets. Think of the Christians driving and all of a sudden swerving out of control. And they're just going to open the door, and they're going to find a pile of clothes and blood everywhere. And that scared the death out of me. I remember looking out my window and fire was falling from heaven. I was scared. And I was scared of hell most of all. Because you know what? Hell is a real place. And there's many people that, you know what, the new Bibles, a lot of the new churches, you know what? They stop preaching hell. Why? What good does it do? You know, you're taking out one of the main parts of the Bible. You know what? Yeah, there is positive stuff in the Bible. Thank God for it. But you know what? The problem is, though, is he has to deal with all the sin before he can get to the positive. And he had to deal with my sin before I got saved and before I admitted to him that, you know what, I was bound for hell. You know, I had to say that I was a sinner because that's what I was. I just want to read something here. This is a pretty good description of hell. In Exodus 3:2, it says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Isaiah 3:8, they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. The sorrows of death compass me, and pains of hell get hold on me. I found trouble and sorrow. I'm going to start reading this. It says, what mortal mind can even begin to perceive the sight of hell? What the burning will be like? Let's see if this will give you another look at lost loved ones, friends, etc. And their fate, if they are not saved. Maybe even your fate. Because, you know, I think there may... I don't know. I really hope there's no one lost in here. But maybe there's someone lost in here looking for something. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not by our works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Revelation 20:15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Try to imagine for every second throughout eternity your body with the most excruciating sunburn, and add to that the awful pain of your whole frame scalded with boiling water. To this add the agony of bodily movement. The skin stretches. Untold daggers of pain flash through your body. You want to hold still, but the burning from the flames will not allow it. The bubbling brimstone makes you scream. Your hair is on fire, and your feet and hands blister. While you gnaw your tongue, trying to relieve the torment, your throat is raw from screaming and wailing. Spasms of anguish drop you into the molten lava. You go under the surface, gnashing your teeth. The burning brimstone flows into your mouth. It runs down your throat and into your stomach. You are on fire inside and outside. Lava, red hot and smoking, flows in your ears as your eyes try to focus in the endless, everlasting, permanent dwelling place of total torment and your torturous surroundings with your burning and a feeling of melting of your eyes overwhelms you. You look and focus on worms that they have totally engulfed your body. They are crawling on and in you. You can feel them. A scream comes from the burning, flaming, fiery lips. A cry for water is felt throughout your whole being. You are falling in the darkness. You feel something solid. Oh, if you could only stop falling. Your body tries to cling to the solid surface. Suddenly you're slipping. Again you fall into the bubbling lake. You swallow another mouthful of burning slime, the horrid smell of blazing sulfur combined with the sickening odor of burning hair and scorched flesh. Nausea overwhelms you. Something suddenly reaches out of the darkness and grasps you in terror. They begin to gnash on you with their teeth. All the time you are both screaming at the top of your lungs. You shake the gnashing person off you in the darkness. Breathing heavily from the concentrated exertion, you fill your lungs with smoke. While you cough and gasp, the word water escapes your inflamed lips again. Your throat is on fire, your tongue feels like a white-hot iron against the parched roof of your mouth. Your gums pulsate with agony, while every nerve in your teeth stabs you with the flashes of indescribable permanent pain. Guys, that's what hell is going to be like. I couldn't think of a better way to put hell. And you know what? If you are lost here today, that's where you will go if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. This is real. This is real. This spiritual world. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a real battle. You don't think it's real? You know what? You go listen to that, some of that heavy rock. I watched a video and it was pretty amazing. But those people, you know, they sing about worshiping the devil. They really believe that. They really do. It's not fake. You go to some of their stuff and you study up on some of the sacrifices that they did to the devil himself. They sacrificed the souls of the devil himself. You don't think it's real? You don't think that this fight is real? It's real. And they're out to get you. And the devil hates you. And all his goal is just to get you to hell. He'll tell you that you can live by your works to get there. You can't. The Bible says you can't in Ephesians. So I just... look at your eternity for a second. Just look at where you're going to go. Think about it. The Bible said it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. You don't know when you're going to die. So if you're lost, how about you just take someone aside? There's any adult in here that can just take you aside in a private room and show you. This is not a fact of getting you into our church. I don't care if you come to our church again. Get saved. It's worth it. You'll never regret it. We'll go ahead and pray here for a second. Lord, I know you've laid this on my heart, and I thank you for letting me speak clearly and all those things. I don't know if anyone here is lost, Lord. I really hope that there isn't. I pray that you'll just deal with the hearts of some backslidden people of yours, Lord. Help us all look at ourselves, Lord, and look in the mirror and see who we really are, Lord. And I just pray that you would bless the rest of the service and what's remaining, Lord. And I just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here. As Anna plays for a few minutes, maybe the Lord spoke to your heart tonight about something. Maybe it's about something that Caleb said with regard to needing to do some things yourself, drinking out of your own cistern. And maybe it's... something about what Daniel spoke on, the necessity of salvation, what it might cost to not be saved. Don't ignore the Lord's voice here tonight. why don't you come? If there's anybody here that's never trusted Christ, why don't you come, let us know that you have questions. We'll be happy to take you aside privately and show you out of the Bible how to be saved. We're not out to embarrass a single person here. But would you come? Would you make a decision and follow through with it? Maybe you're a bitter Christian. Maybe you're a heavy-hearted Christian. Maybe you've given up on crying out to God. Now is not the time to quit crying to God. Would you come? Maybe you forgot that hell is real. There are people that are burning there right now. The people that are in the obituaries on the Sunday paper have now been there, many of them, for less than 24 hours. They would give anything to be able to escape that. But they'll be there now forever and ever and ever. Maybe you forgot there's a hell because churches did quit preaching it. If you need to come, would you come? Maybe you walked away from what you were taught. Walked away from what you know was right. And for whatever reason, again, maybe bitterness or some unforgiven issue with some other person, you've allowed an eclipse to happen between you and the Lord, and the Lord's smile. You need to get that right. That's wrong. Hey, folks, I had a stroke. I'm not bitter. Lord has His reasons. I know what He was doing. I can tell you right now what the Lord was doing. I'll preach a message on that soon, I suppose. But Lord knows what He's doing. Why don't you come? Person or so at the altar, there's still time for you. Don't waste time. Folks, let's look this way. Just want to say that was really good. Now, young people, that was really good. A lot of you folks know probably by now that you just got fed more tonight here than most people get fed in a month at their own churches a lot of times. You got more meat here from young people that don't do this on a regular basis than a lot of times you get from people that make this their livings this way. So it's a blessing that these young folks have absorbed Bible and are willing to get up and put it out. Appreciate that very much. You did a good job, guys. All of you. The singers, the testimonies, enjoyed the whole thing. All right. Let me remind you that Brother Jeremy is handling the music for Revival. So anybody that's got a special, need to see him to sign up for the music. So my singing voice is not all it was once at this point. So he's going to handle that for Revival. So see him if you have a special. Let's rise. We're going to have a word of prayer and be dismissed here. It's really good tonight. It's good to be back. Keep praying for Revival. Keep remembering the Vogelpuls, who Mrs. Vogelpuls still has the broken neck. They're still dealing with her in the hospital. I'm not really sure how that's even going at this point. But the Christoffersons coming in this week as well. Keep praying for those folks. Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, we appreciate what we got to hear already tonight, and it was really good. Again, it's good to see all of the years of planting Bible in honest hearts come to fruition here with our own kids getting up tonight to feed our hearts and our souls. We pray that anybody that was here tonight that had needs that they didn't address yet, Lord, we pray that you'd help them to address those needs. And we're grateful for your goodness to us. We're glad that you hear our cries, and we're glad that you've given us a cistern to fill and drink out of. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, good night, folks. Brother Dave? Oh, there's ice cream here tonight. Why wasn't I told about this? Hey, that was good, man.
It was good.
It was real good.
Voice held up really well.